Oh, we're back. Steve, welcome back once again. We're talking about all kinds of things, and I think triggers is probably a good place to, you know, what gets us to the place where we're ready to make that decision. The wrong decision, folks, by the way. You know, and what, you know, is it part of a whole process? Because without the trigger, there's nothing happens, you know. But what is the trigger? Do we invent one when we need one? You know, what kind of stuff triggered you, like, back in when you're really trying to get rid of it, the habit there?
I do think it is kind of, like, imaginary. Like, we do kind of fall back on something to make an excuse because we want to use.
Yeah.
But people, places, and things are the three biggest triggers. So, like, even while I was in active use, there were the days where I didn't want to use, obviously. But I'd go out with certain people or I'd go to certain locations and instantly be like, okay, let's go get high.
Yeah.
It's a feeling. It's an imagine to me, it's an imaginary idea, right? Like, it's just something that it's habitual in a sense, right?
Oh,
you just remember what you've done, what this bar associates with or what that red building means. Yeah. Right, and it just leads you back down that rabbit hole. Like for me, what I do when I'm triggered, and it's actually something that helps me, is I'll talk about. So let's say I have the urge to use. I'll call someone, a counselor, or my wife, or my dad, and I'll talk about for 5 minutes. Be like, okay, I just drove by so and so, and I have the urge to get high right now.
Yeah.
A 5 minute conversation. And it's out of mind.
Yeah.
Another thing, though, back to the clean and sober and the t-shirts.
Please.
I am developing some t-shirts that have stay strong messages. So for those people that don't want to live like hermits and they still go to the bars and they still see their friends, they're going to be given the opportunity to be reminded of what it's really like. So they could still be around their trigger. Well, the idea is to still be around your triggers, but be able to overcome them.
Yeah.
So you can look down in your shirt and you can remind yourself that it's not as fun as you remember, or it's never just one. And the point of that is to still live. I truly believe I need to live my life the way I've always lived my life. If there's going to be a backyard party and there's going to be beer and there might be drugs, I can't run away from that. Right, if I'm gonna go to a bar because my friends are there watching a hockey game, I should be able to go. Now I don't have to drink, I don't have to use, and that's the purpose of the hidden message shirts. It's
okay.
So when you're in that situation, you could still live normal, but just be reminded and have strength. And it comes back again to being proud and being open and honest about where you came from, who you are. So when someone asks you, why aren't you drinking? You don't have to be embarrassed and run away and not answer. You can look at them in the face and tell them, you know what? I can't, because one beer is going to lead to 10 beers. 10 beers is going to lead to a needle in my arm.
That's great, because you're spreading the word at the same time, and you're held accountable by virtue of what you're wearing in this case. And less people are going to bother you about trying to make you drink or smoke or shoot or whatever, you know. So
you shouldn't get made fun of for not being a drunk.
And
that's where the whole systematic or the whole that where it's wrong. People look at you funny if you don't drink. They don't care if you're hammered out of your ass. He's so funny, look, he's on the ground. It's like, oh, look at that loser, why doesn't he want to drink?
And that's
the biggest thing we're trying to combat, right? That's the biggest problem. And it comes back again to the kids, right? How do we tell them, okay, it's okay to have a casual drink. I'm not for recovery, but as an everyday human being, if you could drink, you can
generally
drink.
But you know, that's the key, I think, because we're saying on the same hand, you know, like, the media, the advertising, everything you see out there in the world relates to
not about having a casual drink what they're showing you. It's about getting hammered and having a good time.
It's like sex game.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so be your escape.
You get drunk, you'll get laid.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's where the issue is. They're not promoting having a casual drink with your friends. They're promoting get hammered. Yeah. It'll be so much fun. Don't remember the next day. Wake up with a pretty woman beside you.
Yeah.
And that's life.
Yeah.
And that's the issue.
And that's
like binge drinking. I'm sure among
it's
the
such a lure, but it is so shallow.
Yeah, that's
like I wonder if we do we.
It's easy to fall down that rabbit hole. That looks awesome. Well, like wow, if I go out every night and get hammered, I can meet a beautiful woman every night, and my life is fantastic. Yeah. But then again, they don't tell you, and that's they don't tell you what might happen.
Yeah.
They don't tell you that all of a sudden, 2 years down the road, you need to drink on a Monday, and you're not waking up with a pretty woman.
Yeah.
And you're not going to work because that's all you're doing.
You got a couple of kids that you don't know anything about.
Like you said, you don't know when it's going to hit you. You don't know if you have the gene or not.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't know when it's going to sneak up on you. And all of a sudden now you're 18. Next thing you know, you're 35. And you're in a world of hurt.
Yep. Back to the other end just for a second. We were talking about, especially in this phase of our program anyway, we're looking at the nature of the things we do that we don't want to do. You know, whether that be sticking a needle in our arm, whether that be controlling things, whatever it is, we're looking at, the nature of the thing. So someone said, the misdeed or the wrong thing we did is not necessarily the issue. The real issue is, what triggered us? And even below that, what sort of mood and all these different things, like what was going on and when's the first time in my life that I felt that feeling and so on. So looking at the nature of the things we do wrong has a lot more, that we'll be able to use toward healing than just using or not using and all these things. So, the prescription is always the wrong thing, because there's not a prescription other than having your mind operate in a different way. And that's, then we're back into the science and, well, how do you do that? Well, I mean, you isolate the problem, you see where it is. When that guy's brain gets all red in that area, he's excited, and that guy doesn't, it doesn't bother him. But, you're going to send someone for 10 MRIs and, 3 university degrees to figure out how he or she shouldn't do it? No, don't start. Whatever we have to do to teach people not to start, we'll stop addiction. Yeah. Everything else is as you started to say, people can drink, people can use different things. We know they can, but the one thing none of us do know is who will be able to and who won't.
Yeah.
Who will become the addict if he escapes enough? Who won't? We don't know that, and we owe it to God, to ourselves, to our families, to the world, not to create the place where others will start because they may not finish other than dead, So how do we do that?
That's the battle. Like there's no answer for that.
There's no manly answer. I'll tell you.
And that's why it's just education, right? It's the education on just knowing that binging isn't the way to go. Starting at a really young age isn't the way to go. Because most the stats show 15 to 24 year olds are. Yeah. That's where most of the addiction,
suicides too,
and suicides, and addiction. It's all based, and it comes back to the trauma, right? It all comes back to, they don't realize it too at that age. I never realized the trauma that I faced when I was 12 years old and started getting into, smoking. For me, it was, I dealt with things at home, I dealt with things at school, and how did I make myself feel not stupid in class?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So I'm that kid that smokes weed. Everybody viewed me as that kid. I developed friends. But we got to combat. Like we got to figure out how to. It's a whole educational system, and that's where the money has to go. Like we have to really figure out a way to educate the people, like the impulsive kids or the troubled kids. There's different avenues, right? Like you don't need to smoke that joint to be liked or to, okay, the teacher thinks I'm stupid. Mm-hmm. So since I'm stupid, I need a different avenue. I need to become a drug dealer. I need to be bad.
Yeah, that's right. Be bad is attractive. Be bad. What's that program? something bad, a famous one.
Anyway. Breaking Bad?
Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
You know.
It was a good show.
Yeah, I know. I love it. When I wore my hat, they all bug me about that. But anyway, it's...
So that's the problem, right? And it's going to take time. It's going to take money. But...
How are we going to excite young people...
Talking about it.
...about something different than that? Than something different that the world says is the best thing that ever happened. Yeah. How are we going to say, look, we got to find something that excites these young people to the degree that stuff does, but has nothing to do with that stuff?
Yeah, I guess we need more... we need more recess time, right? No more video games. You got to be outside more, play some video games. I don't know. I really don't know. It's going to be a long uphill battle. Yeah. It's an educational process.
Yeah. Be excited about your fullness, your potential, yeah. your brain power. You know, like yeah. you said, waking up beside a pretty person and wondering who it is. I mean, how exciting is that? Yeah, it happened to me 9 times in 14 days. Wow. You know any of their names? Well, what's that for?
Yeah, and it never happened to me 9 times in 14 days, I'll tell you that.
How do you know? Time wasn't important.
Yeah, well, I know. Yeah, no, it's definitely a climb, but it can be slowly but sure. Like with the mental health, right? The more we talk about things, the more people start to realize and learn and be educated, right? Eventually... Yeah. The media is going to have to make a turn too, and more people start talking about it, because right now it's the stigma's still there, and the stigma still comes from the addicts themselves.
Yeah.
Once we get more addicts willing to, break that stigma, embrace it, it'll become more normalized, and that will have to change, the media's point of view on it. Just like with the mental health, right? 10 years ago, you didn't talk about it if you're depressed. Now people are calling in radio shows talking about the depression.
That's right.
Work now is allowing people to take time off for the depression. Before, you didn't talk about it. Now people are starting to learn about it. They're starting to find ways to cope with it. The government's putting money behind it.
Yep.
It'll be the same thing. The movies now talk about depression.
Right? Well, you know, even preachers, I mean, I go to, you know, I mean, it sounds crazy, but I know preachers, all they talk about is their own depression. I said, we're trying to lift people. Not show them how you who made it and still makes good money and all that is depressed all the time.
Yeah.
You know, we got a wrong slant on. Here's a thought, emotional EQ versus IQ, emotional quotient versus intelligence. Yeah. Now, we're taking a course on this, mental health, mental illness, and we're looking at words like, which I brought up at the last meeting on Sunday, was, we need to talk about emotional sobriety. We need to talk about... sobriety in our emotional camp before we worry about all these other things. I said, you know what? Emotionally sober people will not use.
No.
There's no point. It doesn't do anything. They can't be lifted higher than who they really are once they know who that is, if we ever know that. Yeah, but EQ versus IQ, all of a sudden it's important to know that, you know, emotionally being stable is probably far more important than anything else.
Yeah.
I think mix that with your spiritual answers, and I think we've got something to a basis to work on, you know. And like you say, we got to team it. It's got to be a lot of different people with a lot of different views, and not to, you know. I mean, I want people to come on and argue too. I mean, I don't take my word for something. Tell me why it won't work or why it will work. Yeah. And you know, like I tell guys in jail, I said, no, we have the radio show, and I said, I want you guys on. I don't care if you never make it. You know, I want you on there. I want people to learn what recovery is really like, not what the heroes who made it are like. That's only like 5-6% of the guys who ever try, you know, and they're only 1% of those who have the problem. So, I mean, you know, their numbers are out of this world.
Yeah, well, 80%, 80% failure rate.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
The majority don't. Yeah.
No, most don't make it.
And that's where it comes back to me. It comes back to the healing. Yeah. That's where I tie everything in. I could be wrong, right? But just from my personal experience, from what I see other people, the 20% that do typically recover, they connect to something.
Yeah,
their higher power, God, their safe house, their rehab facility, their community group.
Yeah.
They connect to something.
Yeah.
And again, that's where at Clean and Sober, that's what we're trying to create. We're trying to create another connection.
Yeah.
Because stats show that those that do recover connect.
Yeah.
And connection is It goes back to the healing. Yeah. It's beating a dead horse, but it goes back to talking about it.
Yeah. How do you feel? What's it feel like?
And it's the, like you said, the EQ.
Yeah.
You have to be emotionally stable.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what happened to you. It matters how you feel about it now.
Yeah,
forgive whoever you have to forgive. Yeah. Forgive yourself.
Yeah.
Forgive that.
Yeah.
Forgive whoever you have to forgive.
Yeah.
Find God or find that big tree down the street that you can look at and understand that that's greater than you.
Yeah.
And just forgive. Forgive, heal, talk, and it'll do wonders. Like for me, it's helped me a lot. It's slowly getting my family back together.
Yeah.
Things do come back. You can't be afraid. You can't.
Yeah.
Don't be embarrassed, and just talk about it. Like even if you don't want to be open and talk about it on a radio or tell 100 people, you have to find someone that you can talk to about it.
Yeah.
Whenever you feel that trigger coming. Or you're feeling down, you're back in the, like, you just
connect,
have to
connect.
Yeah,
connect,
talk connect, about it, connect. Yeah,
you got it.
Share, connect. Yeah, yep. Connect. Because
yep. Hey, it's the only way.
No one's going to judge you. The responses I get, like, I've been saying, like, I came on here and I tell everybody, anybody I meet, I tell them about my problem. Yep. And how many people are encouraging, even for work? Well, like, I switched companies recently and I told my boss, I said, listen, I'm a recovering addict.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with who I am and how my work's going to be.
Yeah.
But that's the reality.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are afraid to do that because they think they're not going to get the job. Maybe you won't. Maybe someplace. The general population is encouraging.
Yeah.
They want to see people get better.
Yeah.
They have like a sense. It's like the rag to riches story. Everybody loves that type of success, right? You come from the bottom, and you work your way up.
That's right. Yeah.
And addiction's the same thing.
Yeah.
You hit rock bottom.
So we got to see it that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, my man, final words. We got to wrap it up here.
It's been great. Visit me at www.klnsbr.com. Follow us on Instagram at Clean and Sober. There's a lot of good information there.
When you say clean and sober, you mean the
KLN. KLNSBR. It means clean and sober.
All right.
There's a lot of good information there, a lot of help tools, and just talking to you. Feel free to send a message, and we can get through this together.
Sounds good, man. And listen, can we get you back again sometime?
I'm available whenever work allows me to be.
We'll do it. All right. Yeah, exactly. Hey, working, man. This man's a plumber, too, so... He's not doing stuff on his side. That's dishonest. But anyway, thanks very much, Steve. Really appreciate you being on.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to Sharing the Burden live on 102.9 FM in Stouffville. Please go to sharingtheburden.ca for this and previous broadcasts. Hope you enjoyed the show and hope you'll share it. Till we meet again, this is Scott saying, have a great day.